So the title of the sermon today, and we'll wrestle with the wind a little bit today, but it's titled The Sower. We have a saying at Crossroads, and many of you have heard it many, many times, and you're going to continue to hear it a lot more year over the years. But number one, that we believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
And when we say that we believe in the Word of God, what exactly does that mean? Well, I turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16 says this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. But it starts out that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that God's Word is pure and that it is without error. That the Word of God is God's breath in written form to each and every one of us today. So that's number one, we believe in the Word of God. Number two is we stand on the Word of God. If God said it, we believe it. In Matthew 24, verse 35, the Lord Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means ever pass away." We believe that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says that He will do. So number one, we believe in the Word of God. Number two, we stand on the Word of God. And number three is we share the Word of God. Amen. Meaning we share the truth of God's Word with other people. Doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, He says, "All authority I bless you with to share the gospel." I'll read that scripture to you right quick. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Kind of hard in the breeze to wrestle with pages, but we'll get through it. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So number one, we believe in the Word of God. Number two, we stand on the Word of God. And number three, we share the Word of God at Crossroads Gospel. The Word of God is to guide us in every area of our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, we've been talking about over the last few weeks, we have said, of course, in Jesus' temptation, Satan was trying to get Jesus to sin. But when we look at that, when we say that's pretty obvious, but when we look at it just a little bit deeper, we see that Satan was tempting him to see if there was any daylight between Jesus and the Word of God. So what does that mean? When we've been talking about daylight for the last month. Was there daylight? Was there any daylight? In other words, was there any room for temptation in Jesus' life that He could get him to fall to that temptation and sin? In your life today, is there daylight between you and the Word of God? If there is, where is it? And all of us would know where that would be. Look at Jesus' response. So we turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going back in Matthew to Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. And I want you to see what His response was. And I know that you're very familiar with it. But in Matthew 4:4, this is what Jesus says. And He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In verse 7, He says, Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." And then also in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Amen. It is written. Is that your response to temptation in your own life? Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to stay in Matthew. Because we want this to be real life in your life. What you're going through. What you're dealing with. But when you go to Matthew chapter 6, go over to verse 25. We're going to read several of these verses here. But this is what it says in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is of its own trouble. When you have done all that you can do in any situation, but still there's a struggle with bills and there's a struggle with payments. You just don't know if there's going to be enough that's going to make it around. Satan, the daylight checker, is whispering, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Is your response back, my God is my provider, that it is written that he will meet my needs? Amen. Jesus defeated the adversary with the word of God, and so can we today. It is written, my God shall supply all of my needs as in glory, in Philippians 4:19. Another area that I want to touch on today is in your prayer life. If you turn with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Go back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and verse 10, and it says this, Isaiah 55 and verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I do believe that when you sow the word of God, or you water the word of God in someone's life, it will accomplish what God desires for it to accomplish in that person's life.
Amen.
But sometimes we struggle, don't we, when we don't see those things come about. When unsaved loved ones don't come to the knowledge of the truth and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We say, I have done that over and over, and it's not happening in my life. Saints, sometimes we show a lot of daylight between us and the Word of God, because that's what we're doing. We're showing the daylight. We're offering the opportunity for the adversary to tempt us in thinking that that unbeliever is not going to be saved because they haven't come to the knowledge of the truth as knowing Jesus Christ. But you have sowed the Word of God in their life. Are you saying that it's not going to happen? They will never be saved. Or are you telling Satan, it is written, God's will be done in their lives, that that word is going to return, and it's going to return to the Heavenly Father, and it is going to accomplish what God sent it out to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you a story. Well, let's turn first to Matthew chapter 13. So we're going to go back to Matthew. And it's the parable of the sower being explained to the disciples. So we go to Matthew 13. We're going to go down to verse 18. In Matthew 13 and verse 18, it says this. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. And what are we sowing? We're sowing the word. This is who receives seed by the wayside, or then the wicked would come, snatches away that we have sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word of God, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who has received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed hears fruit, bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Now let me tell you the story. 2 years ago, I've got grass hay. I know a lot of you aren't farmers. Well, I'm not really a farmer either. I always wanted to be a cowboy, and I'm not really a cowboy either, but I always wanted to be one. I sowed my hay has just turned to grass. But I don't want to tear it up and start over with crops or do anything like that. So I called a person, and he came over with the drill, and he drilled red clover into my hay field. So it would add tonnage, and it would really do a lot to help out the hay field. He told me when he seeded it, or he drilled the seed, he says, "Now, you're not going to see this spring." But he says, "Maybe later on in the fall, you will see it." I never saw it. That was 2 years ago, over 2 years ago. Last year, I never saw it in the spring. And then I never saw it all summer or in the fall. Immediately, what do we think? The seed's not any good. The seed isn't any good, and I'm going to have somebody else come in and do that again. And all of a sudden this year, and I took pictures of it because I was going to put it on our overhead. Do you see it? That throughout all of my hay field, you see purple blooms all the way across the top.
Praise God.
2.5 years I waited for that clover to come and didn't think that that clover was ever going to come. But if you know mowing your yard, if you got clover in your yard, this has been a clover year because my yard at home just been white all summer long.
Yes.
2.5 years. There wasn't anything wrong with the seed. And I kept thinking, well, maybe the seed's bad. I tried to put in a good quality seed so it would last, but I thought, well, maybe the seed was bad. But the seed was not bad. It was the soil. It was the soil that which the seed was going into. Laid dormant, that seed laid dormant in that soil for almost 2.5 years before it ever came up. The problem was the condition of the soil. It wasn't the seed itself. The Word of God says that the Word is pure, that it is perfect. And most certainly we know that when we are sowing the Word of God into somebody's life, that we're sowing something that is good, something that the Word is perfect. The Word you have sowed or watered in one's life landed in soil conditions that it cannot grow in. But as believers, remember, we believe the Word. We stand on the Word, and we share the Word. The Word that you have sown will not return unto God void, but it will accomplish that which God sent it for.
Praise God.
Amen.
In Jeremiah and in Hosea, I looked up the scriptures, but we won't take time to turn to them today. It shares about breaking up the fallow ground. That ground needs to be worked. It needs to be worked so it will receive that seed and it will bring a harvest. The Word of God is sown right where you sowed it. Think about that. Anybody that you have shared the Word of God with that has not, you haven't seen them come to church, you haven't seen them accept Jesus, that seed is still laying in their heart right where you sowed it.
Amen.
It's waiting to take root in their life. But soil, the soil change of their heart needs to take place for it to take root and flourish.
Amen.
You see that in our prayer life, that many times we will pray for something and we believe that we're praying in line with the Word of God, and we may in fact be praying in line with the Word of God, but when we don't see it happen, when we think it ought to happen, all of a sudden there's that daylight between us and the Word. I don't think it's going to happen. Satan steps right into that daylight to tempt you and say, you know what, they're never going to accept Jesus. You might as well get used to it. But what we need to be saying as Christians today, it is written.
Amen. Right.
That God's Word will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent.
Yes.
Start believing and proclaiming and seeing those individuals come to the knowledge of the truth of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Believe things into your hands, that you see it, that you believe it, and that you're going to stand on it, and you're not going to be moved off of that until you see that take place in their lives. To walk in that faith, that Word is there. It's not going anywhere.
Amen.
I think sometimes, you know, we think that with our children. Raise them up in the way that they should go, and they will never depart from it. Mm-hmm. We've all heard that in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And we think, well, my kids, they walked out there, and they went out there, and they got involved in this. They got involved in this. They're destroying their lives. Well, let me tell you, the Word of God is still sitting right there where you planted it in their life. And when the soil conditions are right, it's going to flourish. And it will do what God said it will do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just rejoice in this opportunity to be in your house today, or even outside your house, Father. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us this place today so we can hear the Word of God and we can share encouragement and be a source of strength for each other. And I pray for all of my church family, Lord, you'd bless them this day and the days to come, and that your hand would be upon their life. For those that are going to gather tonight, that, Father, you would bring us all back together as soon as possible. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.